You know, I wish I had this power at home. Especially with my grandsons. Anyway, I should say good morning, shouldn't I? Rather than making funny comments first. So, good morning. It's really nice to see you in worship. Derek will take us through some of the intimations.
Thank you, Norman. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to church, especially if you're new or a visitor. We especially welcome the kids at church with us today. And for everyone, please stay afterwards. Not only is there ice cream and strawberries, but the craft stall with the stuff from the gala that we still have is there too for you to look at. An important one is next Sunday, the 19th of June, is Holy Communion here in church. Now, a notice about summer services. During the summer, our services will continue at the normal time of 11:30. The 10th, the 17th and 24th, the service will likely be shorter, and there won't be any Zoom facility on those days. That's because so many of us are on holiday as well. Audio recordings of the services are now available on the website each week. Now, these will be available as soon as possible, but not always on the same day. So they will be there sort of Sunday, Monday. Intimations will continue to be published on the website and the Facebook page and will be emailed to those of you who subscribed up until the 3rd of July. And that final sheet will carry information for the summer. From the 21st of August, we're going back to printing the intimations at Limekiln's office, and a printed sheet will be available each Sunday. We'll still do the online and email versions as well. Food hygiene, we're still looking for volunteers to complete the online training in food hygiene to assist with our hospitality. Please contact Elaine if you can do that. It's a 2-hour online course that we need to go through. Next up. And just some photos from yesterday. One's Thursday, the seniors' tea was in here, and there were some very helpful and wonderful volunteers who set the place up. There are more photos than that. You can see Claire if you want to see the rest. And then there's a photo of our craft stall at the Gala Field yesterday. So a big thank you to everyone who helped with both those events. And that concludes the intimations. Thank you.
And just a wee bit on the food hygiene. Karen has gone through it, so she'll tell you how simple it is to do. Right. So there you go. Karen is now hygienic and will not be poisoning me. So unlike me. It is good to be here to worship. So let's sing the first of our hymns. It's number 213, Every New Morning.
Oh,
So let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving of time, talent, and money for your church. Our prayer is that it will glorify you in every way. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Right. I was having a bit look at the Bible because I had a little question. Maybe I should ask you the question. Do you think Jesus went to parties? Yeah. You know, surprisingly, he went to a lot of parties. And when he wasn't going to parties, people were saying, "Will you come and eat with us?" And even something quite different, one I've not tried at all, which is saying to people, "I'm going to come and eat with you." Maybe I should try that one someday. And he did all of these things, and people wanted him to be there. Sometimes, if you look at art, or if you look at films, or you look how Jesus is pictured, he always seems very serious with a long face and has very serious things to tell people. And I sometimes wonder about that because it's not the picture I get when I read the Bible. Jesus seemed to be really popular. Folk wanted to come on, eat with us. And I think, from what I'm reading, that he smiled a lot, he laughed a lot, and he was good fun. And one of the reasons is because he said, "With me, I want you to have life that is absolutely full to overflowing." And I don't think you can have that if you're being glum. So I don't think that was Jesus at all. I think he wants us to have parties. And I think if Jesus were physically here today, he would be first in line for ice cream and strawberries. And I have an awful sneaky suspicion that when it gets to the end of this bit, that he would be sneaking out to be in the garden with you rather than listening to a sermon from me. That's the Jesus I picture, and that's the Jesus that we are worshipping in church. I think Jesus would want us to have things to enjoy, and I'm looking at things down here that some people might enjoy, but I'm going to need some help. I don't do this by myself. Claire. Or Irene. Are they devolving this? It's funny, I could see the kind of, no, you do it. It's a shame when you're right at the bottom of the pile, isn't it?
Push to the front.
Does this happen with your family as well?
All the time.
Right, where would you like me to start?
Let's start this
end. Right, start at that end. Right,
you pick them up.
It'll be a process. Right, Ryan. I thought I was going to keep the book and eat the sweets. You've got an awful lot of faith in me if you leave me with something that belongs to you. Well done. That's for you. Marshall won't want anything. Do you eat sweets, Marshall? Oh, yeah, you can't get that way because we've got a keyboard in there, haven't we? Well done, Marshall.
Finley?
And I'm not going to keep asking silly questions because they are silly questions, aren't they? I'm good at silly questions, so well done. Magnus? And should I tell you, you have to take these sweets home and give them to your parents?
No.
That was straightforward. Leah, well done. Oh, Henry. Do you like sweets? Well, that was very clear. Lewis? These are all quite... I'm just looking at what you're getting, that's all. Well done. Katrina? Well done. This is for Hugh. Will you take it for Hugh?
Thanks.
Will you look after that? Madison? Unless Madison's... Oh, Madison's really too old for these. I'll just... I'm a really bad man. How long have I been bad to you? All of your life.
All of that. Yeah. Okay, one, two, seven.
Right, okay, this is a big one. Ayla. And because you're P7, you get a book and you get some sweets and you also get a Bible. Because, so you're looking forward to secondary? Yeah, well, it's good fun. I enjoyed secondary school, so well done. Thank you. And thank you. It's really nice to see all these youngsters in church, and I suspect they're going to be much more interested in sweets than anything I say at the moment. And I'd like to say I was like that when I was a youngster. I suspect I'm still like that. And some people tell me I've never grown up. And some people say there's no sign of it ever happening in the near future either. Which may be a good thing. So we're going to sing, just before the young people go out and enjoy themselves, we're going to sing the song, This Is the Day. It's number 194 if people are using a hymn book. I hope you have fun. Oh.
I just thought it's so lovely to see all you young people in, and I thought you're all getting a clap. But I think there's three people, if not more, who are needing a bigger clap, and that's the leaders. So can we have a clap? see one of our Luke's Gospel. Is it Luke's Gospel? And I thought, wow, as long as well as feet. Sorry.
I'm gonna give you three guesses. Who do you think is the last word in my house?
Well, I haven't seen you, and I just thought how special are you all, and you've got sweeties, and it just is fantastic. So well done, the leaders, well done, the children.
You're safe enough to go now. And Derek this morning is going to be leading us in our prayers.
Maybe we need to take a moment just to calm down. Let's pray together. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When we look at creation all around us on earth and in the skies above, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, that you care for them? Lord God Almighty, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we praise you that in all things we can know the guiding and comfort of your Holy Spirit. Give us, we pray, not our own weak desires, but the power of your presence, for this is the surest way to live in truth. We give thanks for the Spirit and for Jesus who brought light into our dark world. We give thanks for all that we have to sustain and enrich our lives. Teach us how to find and know fullness in your Holy Spirit, and guide us to know how to best use the abundant resources you provide. Glorious God, it is the aim of our lives to worship you, the crown and glory of our souls to adore you. Heavenly pleasure to approach you. Our task is to witness for you. But we forget, we go our own way, we strive to live by our own means, and we neglect your work. We fail to serve you. Remind us, we pray, that we are pardoned through the work of Jesus. Give us a new sense of it. May we come every day that we may worship you always in spirit and truth. And hear us now as we pray the words Jesus, our Lord, taught the first disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This Sunday, the Sunday following Pentecost, is traditionally Trinity Sunday. And so, in some way or another, the readings that we're going to have now have some kind of link into God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So, Irene is going to come and read to us from the book of Proverbs, from Paul's letter to the Romans, and then from John's Gospel.
Today's first reading is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 21. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence, and possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behaviour and perverse speech. Counsel and judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour. enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruits are better than fine gold. What I yield surpass choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put shame on us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. The final reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. God bless these readings from his holy word. Amen.
We are going to be looking at this subject of the Trinity, which it's one of those tricky things in our faith. We are a Trinitarian church, Church of Scotland, like all the major Christian denominations declare a faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is not easy to work out because we can use pictures, we often do use pictures. One of them is a triangle, and we have God on one side, Jesus on the other side, and the Holy Spirit on the third side, and that gives a kind of a picture. A very good picture that I came up with as I was looking at this service has a triangle, but it has God on the apex, at the angle, and then between each, on each side of the triangle, it says, is not. So it says, Jesus is not the Father, is not the Spirit, is not Jesus, and so it goes round. But it also has lines going in the way with God in the middle, and so it says, Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. So you get all of that strange picture of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it is very difficult for us just to pick up in our minds and understand. And now we continue by singing from Mission Praise number 619, Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of being in the pulpit is that I get to sit and look at the people at the sound desk and at the computer. And every so often there is that completely mystified look and sometimes looks of complete panic. And
mainly panic.
But we still love them. Such love. And one of the reasons for choosing that is that that song was the love, that is the bond within the Holy Trinity. And the reason that I chose that quotation, that you, it's maybe a little bit small just to read, it says, God does not change, he is love ever and always. In himself, he is communion, unity and Trinity, and all his words and works are directed to communion. And that is from Pope Benedict the 16th. So, we're thinking about the Trinity today. But I wanted to start with a little question. Do you know what is the last resort in parenthood? Sweets. No, it's nothing to do with all of those things. The last resort in parenting with the child who cannot or will not accept an explanation is the parent saying, because I told you so. Now, I can remember my parents saying it, and I have to put hand on heart and confess that with my children, I have used it. Because I say so. And I've heard it many times over the years by different parents. Of course, this kind of argument is not only used in the parent-child relationship, it is used in other places where people cannot or will not accept an explanation. We're told there are things that you just have to accept as being true. And usually it's because I've told you so. And sometimes this is presented as having faith, that faith in some way is because I've told you so, whether it be a minister or whoever. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that faith is just accepting what we cannot understand. Sometimes I wonder if my inability to accept something I don't understand is a flaw in my character. And maybe it's a lack of faith that I struggle with the things I don't understand. But I do have one very, very clear memory that gives me a sense of peace when I struggle with things that people say, well, you'll just have to accept it, and I can't. It's a clear memory of a lecture in systematic theology at New College, now many years ago, where the lecturer began by saying, there are those who will tell you that a doctrine or a statement of faith cannot be understood, so you just have to accept that it is true. He went on to say, this is the intellectual equivalent of waving a white flag. This is surrender and retreat. This is not faith. And so, it gives me a certain sense of peace that when I worry away at something I really don't understand, that is maybe faith, rather than just saying, well, I don't understand it, I'll just accept it. If we think about our relationships with people around us, a living relationship is very often a process of understanding or trying to understand. It happens within families, amongst friends, with work colleagues. Now, I've been saying to folk that over the last 10 days, I have met and spoken to more people than I probably have in the last 2 years. Now, okay, lockdown did have an effect on that, but through all the Jubilee things that I went through, I spoke to a huge number of people and quite a number of folk I'd never met before. The first thing we do when we speak is we begin to look for connection, for something that we have in common. And then, in discovering the person, we look at that which is different. What is it that makes that person unique? This interrelationship with other people is very similar to our relationship with God. We look to God for connection, but we also look to God for that which is unique and beyond and different. My own experience of God was believing that there had to be a God. I suppose it was that concept of God as some kind of creative intelligence behind the cosmos. I've often told you of my love of science and particularly things like physics and chemistry. The order that I saw said there was a God, but it is quite different to say, who is God? And that question was triggered by people who spoke of God in personal terms. Now, when we consider God, there is a huge disconnect between us as limited and frail human beings and God, who is infinite and eternal. And we are well aware of our imperfection when we start to think of God as perfect and holy. But the answer there, given by God, is Jesus. The incarnation is God breaking into the world. It is about creator becoming creature. And much more than that, it is about God's embrace of our broken humanity. It is Jesus who opens the way for us to find that unapproachable God in perfect holiness is actually the Father who loves us. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." It is Jesus who opens the way to see God as Father. We can use all sorts of metaphors, all sorts of pictures in describing Jesus. We say within the Christian faith that he is the one who breaks the barrier between us and God. We say that he is the one that bridges the gap between us and God. We say that he is the one who is the way to reach God. In Jesus, we have the one who allows us to find connection. It says in Genesis that humanity was created by God in the image of God. Jesus makes very visible that understanding of ourselves and God in his humanity. In Jesus, we have the one who says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." There is in Jesus the perfection of God that is very different from our humanity. And here is that perpetual struggle to keep a balance in understanding Jesus, understanding that he is as fully human as we are, in an absolute sense, and completely God as the Father is. And that is difficult. Then Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit coming from the Father, but also that he, Jesus, will send the Holy Spirit. And so we begin to get that picture of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The reason for choosing the Old Testament reading today is the Spirit is that the person of wisdom in the Old Testament is understood by many scholars to be the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. We have possibly had that experience of a moment when we see something that is very wise, much wiser than would come from our mouths. It's the right word at the right time, and how did I manage that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. We might wonder why we are in the right place at exactly the right moment. And that is the Holy Spirit. When we think of ourselves, we probably recognize what Paul describes as that which is weak and foolish. I've always said that my qualification, whether it be as minister, well, certainly as minister, or as Christian, is that God chooses the weak and the foolish. But what Paul says is that God chooses the weak and the foolish to shame the wise and the strong. Those who are wise in the way of the world, those who are strong in a worldly sense, it is me in my weakness and foolishness, but with the Holy Spirit. That's what makes me different. The Holy Spirit does speak through us. The gift of Pentecost is a continuing gift of God. We are the body of Christ. We have the same Spirit that Jesus had. And we are children of the living God. We have a heavenly Father. Over the years, I have struggled to understand what it means to say, I believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can say with absolute certainty that I believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and at exactly the same time say, I really don't understand it. But I struggle to do so. And in that struggle to understand, in recent times, I don't know for how long, I don't know when it started, but I've come across something that is almost an even greater struggle. The Bible tells us that God is inviting us into that relationship that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A belonging that is so intimate that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want to embrace us in the unity that exists within the Trinity. This is no abstract understanding of us and God. This is about us living the presence of God in the world around us and with the people we meet. The Trinity is not something that belongs in an ivory tower or for professors of theology. It is the real and practical expression of God with us. And so when we go out that door, we are to be those who care for creation, because the God who created all is with us. We are to reveal God's love for the world. Because when we go out that door, we go with Jesus who died for the sake of this world. And we go out of that door to draw others into the loving embrace of God, because we are filled with God's Spirit. It is still an enormous mystery. And do I understand one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No, I don't. I struggle to do so. But yet I know that it is the great reality, that God is embracing us in that holy relationship so that we can be a holy people for Him in the world out there. Amen. And now, thinking about that world, we turn to our prayers for other people, and Derek is going to lead us in that.
Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for our world. We place before you especially the people of Ukraine and all that we see on the news. But we remember other places where war or violence of any kind is destroying lives. We pray for peace, for an end to poverty, injustice, and disease. We pray that all might live safely and in harmony. We pray for the leaders of nations and of organizations, big and small, for all those who take decisions that affect others. We pray for the church here in our parish and village, the church in Scotland, the church in the world, and we pray for all who seek to serve you. We pray for all who serve others, whether in health and other essential services, not forgetting defence, or who are simply carers. And we remember those who research and those who teach. We pray for those with burdens that challenge them every day, those who worry about what might happen tomorrow. We pray for those who have suffered bereavement or loss. And we pray for those who have cause to celebrate. We pray that all might have hope and that all might know love. We pray knowing that you listen and that you respond internationally, nationally, locally, and personally. Lord, will you hear our private petitions now in silence? Father, grant us comfort in the certain knowledge that your purpose and your love will prevail. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Thank you.
Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love now and forever.